Jesus,
Yes, Peter.
I was just thinking.
Is that a new experience, Peter?
I was thinking about this church.
Which church, Peter?
The one you're going to build on me.
Oh, that church. Well, what were you thinking?
I was thinking I'm not exactly the world's best administrator.
There are some people who would say you're not the world's best fisherman either.
Oh, Jesus, you said you wouldn't mention that again.
Sorry, Peter. Now, you were saying.
I was saying that I'm not the world's best administrator, and you haven't exactly given me much of a clue as to what I should do.
What do you mean?
Well, for example, who is the church for? Is it just for the Jews?
No.
Is it just for Gentiles?
No.
Is it for everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Including women?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus,
Yes, Peter.
do you know what you're letting yourself in for? I mean, do you know what you're letting me in for?
Do you have something against women?
No, I'm married to one. But, I mean, in the synagogue, they know their place.
I thought we were talking about the church.
Exactly. If they don't know their place in the church, they'll ruin everything.
You mean they might get things organised?
Well, yes.
And that would be a new experience, wouldn't it?
Well, look, quite apart from the women, what do you want the men to do? Do you want us to sing, standing up or sitting down? Do you want us to kneel to pray or stretch our hands in the air? Do you want candles and incense? Or has the church to be a smokeless zone? Are there to be speakers or silence? Do you want drums and trumpets? I mean, Thomas suggested a guitar, but I told him that guitars gave God a sore head.
What gave you that impression?
Amos 5, verse 23, remember?
Oh, of course.
And another thing, Jesus, how do you want it run?
Are you talking about a marathon, Peter?
No, the church, how do you want it run? James says it should be a territorial democracy. Andrew thought it might be a centralized bureaucracy. Simon said that people should do as they please, but he's just an anarchist. What do you say?
Not very much.
Jesus, be serious. I mean, you said that you were going to build the church on me, but you don't give me a clue as to what it should be like. What happens if you disappear and I drop dead? Will the whole thing go up in a puff of smoke?
Well, that's an interesting way of finding your successor.
Pardon?
Peter, don't worry about the church. That's God's problem, not yours. You set your eyes on the kingdom, and God will make clear what should be the shape of the church. For God wants the church to be the servant of the kingdom, not the master. To celebrate the kingdom, not to dominate it. To be a sign of the good news, not just a reminder of the bad.
Jesus, I don't think you've answered any of my questions.
Is that a new experience, Peter?
No, Jesus. Do like them books, they are quite. And they come home quite well. Hopefully, I'll get a chance to do the keys because I love that story in there. As you can imagine, we're talking about the church, not Peter. That was just my introduction to it. As I sat down to write this, I was taken back to a conversation I had with what was our local parish evangelist. And he emailed me asking me, why did God not give us a blueprint for the church and how to run it? I think we've had one of the answers there. I thought about this and came back with a reply of, He has given us His word. But this does not include the many variations or denominations we have now. Because it's the one thing you don't find in the scriptures, Baptists, Catholics, and so forth. Unfortunately, he got quite upset with that and told me I shouldn't go around saying things like that. And I thought, I'll get on with it. But this word church can and does bring up emotive thoughts and can be the cause of many arguments, yet throughout the New Testament, we are taught to be one. one with the Father, one with the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, for once, I did actually do a little bit of studying, and I picked up my Christian dictionary. And it comes up with the English word for church is derived from the Greek adjectives, and I can't pronounce this word, kyrakos, and it means the Lord's house, or a Christian place of worship. I think if you ask most people what the word church means, this is the most likely interpretation they will give, either to the local parish church or a large denominational building. A building made of bricks and mortar. And in early times, if we go back far enough, it was the centre of the village or town. My dictionary went on to say, in the New Testament, though, church is rendered in the Greek as ecclesia, which mostly designates as a local congregation of Christians and never a building. I also took my thoughts right back to what was a church to me? And I remember a church was the building. It's a place I went to weddings, funerals, baptisms, kicking and screaming most of the time. But later it became a place we met on a Sunday and the odd day during the week. But on Monday we went back to work and what we believed was the real world. Yet as I've grown, and I expect as all of us have grown, Scripture tells us this is not so. And through Scripture there are various people both wanting and actually building a house for God to live in on earth. But we're also told through Scripture how it gets destroyed at other times. But is this what our Father wants now, for us to continue to build churches and magnificent cathedrals for him to live in and where we can meet on days we feel we need to go into them? In Acts is where we get our first taste of what is called the New Testament Church. In my new Bible dictionary, this is called the Church of Jerusalem. But it starts much. Hang on. But it starts much like we have here. It really showed what we were doing here. Chapter 1, verse 15. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering 120. We've got a little way to go yet, Phil. This was in a room in Jerusalem when the Holy Spirit came to them. And as we know on that day, when Peter spoke to the crowd, in verse 41 we read, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. I bet we could. Today, thankfully, the importance of a building has been replaced with a truer belief in that the church is the body of believers, us with Christ living in us, joining us, making us one with our Father through Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and one with each other through that same Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Yes, we will come to a time when this room is too small for us to meet in, and we will need a bigger place to worship, pray, minister, teach, etc. And this is right as long as that building does not become the thing we worship. It's what we do inside. Our Father wants us to live a life of church, in that we can come together no matter when and share our daily struggles and successes. Phil's not seen this, but in a sense we did that this morning with the testimonies. I was drawn to Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47. And this tells us that the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. If we jump to Acts 4, chapter 4, verses 32 and 34, again it says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them, all that there were in them, that there were no needy persons among them. As I wrote this, I stopped and thought seriously about the words I've just typed out and what it actually meant to me and my family. And I know as I read these words, and not for the first time, I came to the realization that we do still fall short of what is being said. Do we meet together daily? Do we share everything with each other? Do we break bread in our homes and eat together? I believe at this time that the answer is a spiritual one, and that answer is yes in our hearts. Physically, it is not in our nature to do all this on a daily basis. But I also believe this is what the Father really wants us to do. Our English ways, work patterns and lives, and especially the way of this world, does not make it easy for us to do what is said in these two lots of verses of Acts on a daily basis. But we can, through prayer, continue to meet daily each other at the cross of Christ. We have the ability to meet together daily through emails, internet, phone. But great will be the day we can actually physically meet like they did in Acts. My little bit of testimony that I didn't speak of earlier. As I wrote these words, I was reminded that as one of this fellowship, I, through my work and hours that I've been doing, have missed many meetings and found it a little ironic to be speaking on this subject. But it is through this fellowship and the prayers you have all given up, I've found the strength to get through each day. For me, I had an upliftment on Tuesday of everything being shed. Even though the work pressures didn't go away, I felt lighter. There is a crossroads in front of me, but that's a different story, and that is for another time, another testimony, I hope. The Father has brought us together not to enter a building of bricks and mortar, but as living stones, to make a building of flesh and bones, in unity and diversity as the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to chapter 13, verse 13, and I promise I'm not reading all of it, speaks of the body being of many parts, each having a different job to do. Verse 27 says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? He goes on to say, now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And yet as you go into chapter 13, we're shown the most excellent way, and that is love. We are to be, each one of us, a living, breathing stone of this building we call church. God loves his church. He has given us his word, his blueprint through the New Testament, how his church is supposed to act, live and be. And we did Ephesians. Perhaps we need to stand aside sometimes and allow him to build this church of flesh and bones, so that we may be the church of Christ. Perhaps we have to let go of some of our English thinking and castle building like ways to allow this. Perhaps we need to seek him in a different way, and when we find him, be obedient regardless of the cost. At times this will be easy, when we can see Jesus working through ourselves and others. And at times we may need to rely on the prayer of others just to get through when we feel alone and lost. He can do it. Jesus will build it. And we are part of that building. And there were some words I found when I was studying that I've added, but I'm not certain if it fits in. So please forgive me if this jolts it a little bit. But the words were the redemptive work of Christ, accomplished bodily on the cross, established unity among God's people. To call those people the body of Christ was to highlight dramatically the event and the person responsible for their very life and final destiny. Remember the little play at the beginning, which Phil and I did, of Jesus and Peter? Jesus' words in that little passage actually hit me harder than anything else. Don't worry about the church. That's God's problem, not yours. You set your eyes on the kingdom, and God will make clear what should be the shape of the church. For God wants the church to be the servant of the kingdom, not the master. To celebrate the kingdom, not to dominate it. To be a sign of good news, not just a reminder of the bad. A new experience. I'm going to finish there with a prayer. It's not a very long sermon, but I didn't want it to go. I could have gone on for hours with some of the books I had. But I just want to end now with a short prayer and then hand back to Phil. Father, you are the master builder. Jesus, you are the capstone, the cornerstone of your body. Holy Spirit, you are the living and the breathing of a building made of flesh and bones. Help us to take on board the words of Acts and Ephesians, that you will build us together as one, one with you and one with each other. Will you come this morning and help us take off those rough edges that stop us fitting together? Help us to support each other in times of need and times of plenty. Help us to meet daily in the spiritual realm till we can meet daily physically. For you are the one that knits us together. Amen.